Good morning. My talk this morning will be in two parts. It's going to be our guidance from above is our main subject, our guidance from above. And then later on, how are we a blessing because of it? Sometimes life is tough and things get to us and we all being human fail at times. We need guidance. We need guidance from above. In Psalms, the 23rd chapter, in the first three verses, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." God is our guide. God is our shepherd to lead us. He's there to pick us up when we fall. He's there to lead us in the right direction. To lead us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake or for his purpose. You know, God will help us to make the right decisions if we remain humble and if we listen to him. In Psalms 25 and 9 it says, Psalms 25 and 9, "The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way." God can only help the meek. He's not going to help those who are stubborn and those who are proud. If we're in that state of mind at that particular time, he's not going to be helping us. He's not going to be guiding us because he can only help the meek. But we have to diligently seek God's guidance. We can't just plan on being there no matter what. We have to diligently seek it. We have to really want it. We have to really want it to receive it. So verses that show the correct desire that we need to have are also found in Psalms, as I just read from Psalms. First one's in Psalms 5:8, where it says, "Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness. Make thy way straight before my face." Also Psalms 25 and 5. Says, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation." Psalms 27:11, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path." And Psalms 143:10, "Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness." If we have the right attitude and the attitude that's talking about here, and we have the desire, the right desire that God wants us to have, then he's going to help us. God will be there for us. He's there to lead and guide us. God led and guided his people in so many ways, which we are not going to get into all those from the Bible. I'd just like to give a couple examples of that. One is what's called, to help them make their decisions, what were called the Urim and the Thummim. Now, for those who, I'm sure we've probably all heard of those, but for those who don't know what that is, it says in this part that I looked up that it says, "Little is known about them, but they were probably precious stones or flat objects that God used to give guidance to his people. The priest kept them in a pouch attached to his breastplate. Some scholars think that the Urim may have been the no answer and the Thummim the yes answer. The priest would shake out one of the stones from the pouch, and God would cause the proper one to fall out, thus giving them the answer they needed and God wanted them to have. Another view is that the Urim and the Thummim were small, flat objects, each with a yes side and a no side. The priest spilled both from the pouch. If both landed on their yes side, God answered was positive or yes. Two no sides, it was no or negative. A yes and a no meant no reply. God had a specific purpose for using this method of guidance as he was teaching a nation the principles of following him." Of course, our situation is not the same today, but I don't know about you. It'd be kind of nice to have a Urim and a Thummim in your pocket or in a pouch and you just had a tough decision to make and God would help you. I would like to have some of that sometimes, especially financial decisions. So that's how one of the ways that he led his people, one of the examples that we have. Another good example seems to be in the air this morning. We've talked about this a lot. And that's the example that we find of God's guidance in the story that's found in Exodus, beginning in the third chapter. This is a story about God speaking to Moses. We talked about this in our class this morning. That's what I was referring to. God speaking to Moses from the burning bush. And he told him how that he was going to help him and lead him and guide him to deliver the children of Israel from the Egyptians out of the land of Egypt, with God's guidance to the promised land. But you know, Moses didn't really believe in himself. And this made God a little angry with him. Moses thought, well, told God he didn't really think he could convince the children of Israel to do what he wanted them to do, or that they would even listen to him. And God, like I said before, made God a little angry and frustrated with him. So he said to him, Aaron, your brother's a good speaker. Why don't we let him speak for you? He can speak to the children of Israel. You tell him what I tell you, and then he'll tell them, and then he'll talk to them about it. So Moses and Aaron, they did what God said, and they listened to him, and they put his plan into effect. Aaron talked to the children of Israel and told them that God would deliver them out of the land of Egypt. He would give the guidance necessary, and if they followed the rules, that would happen for them. And so they agreed to that. Now God knew his guidance wasn't going to be easy. He knew his plan would work, but he knew it wasn't going to be easy, and he knew it wouldn't be popular. And he knew that it wouldn't have instant results. He knew his people would be stubborn and wouldn't want to listen and fight it. And he also knew that they would even complain at times about it. And at some times they just wouldn't believe in it. But God also knew that he had a plan and it would work. But he also knew also that Pharaoh was just not going to just let him go. He was getting a lot from him. They were doing a lot of work for him. And he really liked having them under his control. He knew that Pharaoh was going to be very stubborn to deal with. And even though Pharaoh was warned about all these plagues that were going to be sent down upon him and his people, God allowed his heart to be hardened through all these many plagues that he gave him. And of course, he didn't let the children of Israel go. So Pharaoh, even though he suffered through all these terrible plagues, he still didn't let them go. But God knew this last thing that he was going to do to him would cause him to change his mind. He knew that would be the final straw to change his mind. He knew that the Passover, the death of the firstborn, as it would affect him and his family also, would cause him to want to get rid of these people and get them out of his sight and to make them go. But you know, God also had a further plan. He knew that the children of Israel were also going to, as they were fleeing, they were also going to be followed again by Pharaoh. He was going to again harden his heart and go after them with his soldiers and with his chariots and with his horses to bring them back to Egypt. That was his plan because he hardened his heart. So God again showed his power. And when they got to the Red Sea, he parted the Red Sea with a great miracle so that his people could pass through that Red Sea on dry land and get to the other side safely. But again, as these Egyptians, soldiers and chariots and horses were following them, and they went into the open air of the Red Sea, God told Moses to stretch out his hand. And then all the water came down upon the Egyptians and their horses and their chariots. Before that, God actually made it harder so they couldn't even actually keep up with them by making their wheels fall off of their chariots and having problems so they couldn't keep up with the children of Israel. And then all this water came down upon them and drowned them. All the Egyptian soldiers were drowned and their horses in the sea, and those that were with them. And again, so God's plan of guidance worked again. And the children of Israel were saved from the Egyptians, just as God said would happen. But as we know and as we read in the Bible, the children of Israel would soon disobey God again. They would worship idols, they would do something that would make God very angry with them. They would disobey his rules, and he would punish them again. And then later, after they realized what they had done and they were going through the punishment that he gave them, they would repent and cry out to him. And then God again would feel sorry for them and would help them again. It just seemed like a vicious cycle with them over and over and over. And unfortunately, most of them didn't make it to the promised land, because they didn't do what God wanted them to do. This also included Moses, because as he smote the rock to get water from it, he didn't give God the credit. And so for that, he didn't make it to the promised land also. So what can we learn from this example that we have here? First of all, we need God's guidance. Because without God's guidance, we would be spiritually lost. But we really have to want that guidance. We really have to pray for it. We really have to desire that guidance. Secondly, it may not always be what we want that guidance to be, or for what it's for, or for what God gives to us. It may not be what seems best at that moment to us. Next, God's guidance and message isn't always immediate. And it doesn't always mean you're going to receive instant results. God's timing is different than our timing. God has a plan of what's best for us to fit into his plans. Next, we must be meek and humble to receive his guidance, as we talked about. If we're stubborn or proud, God's not going to help us. Instead, he's going to let our hearts be hardened, as he did Pharaoh when he didn't follow God's guidance. But we shouldn't ask for God's guidance if we don't intend to follow through with it. And one of the most important things is we have to listen to God's guidance manual, his word, the Bible. And we have to study it continuously to know what we have to do and know what God wants and to allow God to talk to us through it. And lastly, from this example, we need to know and believe that God will do what he says. God will follow through with it, and that it will happen. But again, it's going to be on his time frame, not on ours. Also, when God gives us spiritual guidance, he expects us to do the most with our abilities. He expects us to try to use the talents and abilities that we have and he has given to us. He expects us to know what those are and to pursue those and try to do more with those. He wants us to work on these and multiply them so that they can be used for him and for his service. That brings to mind the parable of the talents, which is a very familiar story to all of us, where one was given five talents, which was talking about money in this case, and that person multiplied that to 10. Another was given 2, and he multiplied that to 4. And another was given 1, and he went and hid that talent and was afraid to do anything with it. So even though these talents that we're talking about here in Matthew, in this case, I looked at Matthew 25:14-29, it's talking about money. I'd like for us a little while to think of these talents as abilities and blessings that God gives us so that we can make them better and multiply them. Multiplying our skills, our abilities, and our talents for God's purpose. For example, we're going to first use a male member. We're just going to say this particular male member is a newer Christian. And we're going to say that person starts out and they have an ability to read, and so they're put on to do the Old Testament. And they keep working on that, and they get that better, and they multiply that, multiply their talent in that so that they're a lot better at it and they feel more comfortable with it. And then they move up to also doing the New Testament reading, and they get better at that. That person started with one talent. They just multiplied that to 2. That's what's called multiplying their talent for God in worship service. Then possibly later on, also being a helper at the Lord's table, and with practice, maybe giving a prayer for one of the emblems, with practice giving a prayer during the regular worship service, and just growing and multiplying their talent for the Lord. And then maybe at a later date, again with practice, and possibly, as we've done recently, in a supervised young men's meeting type setting, they could give a short talk. Maybe one that's been rehearsed not only on their own, but maybe in the development class with supervision and help. And then with practice later on, from that, grow in that and get better and better. Then with practice, maybe do a larger talk later. And then depending upon this individual's abilities, they could eventually work into song leading if they have the ability for that purpose. Maybe doing an open meeting, starting out maybe leading it that way. Speaking possibly on Sunday evening later on. And eventually doing Sunday morning sermon. And then we know that over time, possibly they could lead classes. And there's just a lot of different possibilities. I certainly don't want to leave the ladies out here because they have so many important things that they do in the church. We're not trying to just talk about men only. There's many things that the women do, and I probably can't even imagine to know all the things that the women do on the sidelines. They do so many things as far as teaching classes and do a lot with the children, and I know they teach various classes. Also have a lot to do with the food and for socials and meetings. They take care of the Lord's Table emblems. I could go on and on about the many things that they can do. And that starts out probably small, where they're just a helper, maybe in class or so on, and maybe help with the food. And before you know it, maybe they're in charge of it. Maybe they're in charge of certain things that they can do. So there's all kinds of possibilities for a person to grow and multiply in their talents in the church, depending on their desires and their abilities. That's what God would like us to do, to work on those and to do those to the best of our abilities. He also wants us to realize, and as the elders usually do, they'll realize what your talents and abilities are, and they're going to put you in those situations that they feel you can handle. And they're going to also see the situations where, or the parts that you might need a little more time, a little more ability work, and things that they could help you with to help you to have more practice and experience and to get better at that. And there's also many members that would help with that also. The key is that we're trying to help and multiply our talents and to grow in the Lord and to be a blessing to Him and the church. We talked about how are we a blessing because of it. This is one of the ways we can be a blessing to the Lord and His church. This can also apply in our regular lives. We can be a blessing to those that are around in the world by seeing what we do, an example of what we do. By a good Christian example, whether they say it to you or not, they're watching you. And they're going to see things you do, and hopefully it'll help them to think about God more. Also, you can be a good listener. You can work on that, to be a good listener to those in the world. It's a really hard thing, and a lot of people don't listen. They just can't wait till they get a chance to speak. So that's one thing we can work on and to get better and to find ways we can help them. And our supreme goal is to look for the opportunities to talk to them about God, to maybe touch them in some way. In my situation, there's a lot of good opportunities for that, which I'll talk about here in a minute. But we have different opportunities presented to us. We need to look for those opportunities so that we might help others, so that we might allow God to guide them through us. I'd like to give a little bit about an example with me. You know, really, not very long ago, I was really getting frustrated with the company that I work for. I'm still frustrated with them, but I was really frustrated with them. And the reason I was so frustrated with them it's because they're getting bigger and bigger, and it's because of their larger company corporate mentality, which basically means that all they think about is what's best for them, what they're going to make from you. They see dollar amounts. They started to treat their employees like a number, and they really didn't care about their employees very much. This happens in corporate America today. We see a lot of that. I've heard of other members talking about that with their jobs. But it was really starting to get to me because, as I found out recently, there's a whole lot of people that are leaving our company right now because of they brought in somebody to cut the fat and somebody who would cause things to where I might be getting a phone call from them right now. I probably am. I'm called, by the way. For what that's worth. Anyway, the good employees that they have are starting to leave the company. And unfortunately that happens because they don't really act like they care about them so much anymore. And that's unfortunately how the bigger companies think. So I was feeling more or less like a number with them, and it was starting to really affect my work. I was getting a little bitter and just having a bad attitude. Now, I know that what's happening in corporate America today isn't something that God approves of. I know what they're doing is wrong. So what I do is I pray for those people who make those decisions. that they might change their ways, that they might ask for guidance from God, so that they wouldn't just see dollar signs, but they would actually care about people and treat them as they deserve to be treated. And then, you know, with God's guidance and help, I realize that what I do in my job is a blessing. I have a blessing, and God has given me something in my job that I can do for others. It allows me to be a blessing to other people. It allows me to help the sick. It allows me to help those who are terminally ill to feel better at that moment. I have the opportunity to go into their hospital rooms and into their homes and sometimes in their workplaces and talk with them and listen with them and answer questions and concerns that they might have. That way, God has given me a chance to bless them and to comfort them and hopefully help them with the medications that I'm bringing to them. My job allows me to show a genuine concern for them. And you know what? They're always appreciative for that. So I feel very blessed because God has shown me that there's good things, there's blessings that come out of things that are possibly bothering us. God has given us opportunities to use and to have blessings from Him. So I feel very blessed now because God has blessed me with that, the opportunity to bless and to be a blessing to others. God's always wanting us to look for any opportunity where we can be a blessing to others for Him. So let's all ask ourselves, are we truly using our guidance from above? And how are we a blessing to God and to others because of it? I'd like for us all to think about these thoughts this morning and think about these things in your lives. I hope that it helps you to think a little bit more about everybody here is a blessing or can be a blessing every moment of your life. It just depends on how you choose to use the guidance from above, to use what God's given you, and to do as He instructs us to do. We have a lot more going for us than the people of old. They didn't have the Bible before them to study and to know. I'd like to read a couple more verses in closing. It's talking about God's guidance. In Psalms 48:14, it says, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." In Psalm 73:24, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." That's the whole goal. If we allow God to give us the guidance that we need, He will be our guide until our death. He will be our guide forever and ever. He will afterwards receive us, if we're righteous at the end of time, receive us to His glory. We're going to offer the gospel invitation to anyone who hasn't yet become a Christian. We're going to give you the opportunity to take the steps of salvation, to have your sins washed away through baptism. If you've done something that's became known you'd like to make right at this time, or something you need help with in any way, if you'd like to place membership, or if we can help you in any way, we ask that you come forward as we stand and sing the invitation number.